Jeremiah 37, toward the latter days of the nation of Judah, before they went into captivity. Remember, the nation was already divided. The northern kingdom consists of 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom consisted of 2 tribes. The northern kingdom started out under King Jeroboam, and they began to worship the golden calf of Baal. And really, all the way throughout the history of the northern kingdom, they were just never in tune with God. They had some wicked kings, they had some wicked queens, and it seems like those 10 tribes were always at odds with what God wanted them to do and the kind of people that God wanted them to be. Now, the southern kingdom was a different story, just 2 tribes, and they wavered. They went back and forth. Sometimes they had a good king and they worshiped God. Sometimes they had a wicked king, and they turned away from God and ignored him. And so they would enjoy times of blessings when they were following God, and then they would have to endure times of punishment when they had turned away from God and had a wicked king that led them away from God. And so when we come to chapter 37, now again, the northern kingdom had already fallen captivity. They'd already gone into captivity. God's patience was about to run out with the southern kingdom. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as he calls himself, his job was to warn the kingdom of these 2 tribes, the southern kingdom, that God's judgment was coming. Babylon was on the way, and the nation was going to fall to Babylon. Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. There were going to be people carried away captive back to Babylon, and they were going to be in captivity for 70 years. And so the end is approaching, and Jeremiah is advising the king to surrender. He said, the Babylonians are coming. They're going to win. And it'd be better for you, and it'd be better for your family, and it'd be better for the people of Jerusalem if you would just go ahead and surrender to Babylon and not make them fight. Just go ahead and run up the white flag. Just go ahead and seek terms of surrender from the nation of Babylon. It'd be a whole lot better for everybody involved. Well, the princes, those that were under the king, Zedekiah was king at that point, they didn't like Jeremiah's message. They did not like the message of surrender. They did not want to give, of course, they didn't want to give up their power. And I don't know if they thought they could defeat Babylon. Babylon was the most powerful nation on the earth at that time. But their advice to the king was, don't surrender. Let's resist. Let's fight as long as we can. And so they were against Jeremiah. Again, he wanted them to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon at that point. So in verse 37, Jeremiah is at the gate called Benjamin. Okay? A captain of the guard is there. They see Jeremiah at this gate. And again, the city was surrounded at this point with Babylonians. And Jeremiah was accused of falling away to the Babylonians, to the Chaldeans here, as it said there in verse 13. You're going to the enemy. You're trying to sneak out of the city. You're trying to give yourself over to the enemy. I'm not going to let you do that. So he arrested Jeremiah. He took him back to the princes. Okay, those that were under Zedekiah that ruled the southern kingdom of Judah at this point in time. And the princes, when they heard this report that Jeremiah was, you know, about to fall over to the Babylonians, they were angry at him. I mean, they were angry with him already. They were angry with the message of surrender that he was preaching. And so the Bible says they were wroth with him, and they smote him. In other words, they beat him, and then they put him in prison. And verse 16 says that he remained there many days. Again, we don't know how many days many days he was there, but he was there for a while in prison. Again, in prison for a crime that he was not guilty of, but in prison because the princes did not like the message that he was preaching. While he was there, the king sent for him. He took him out of the prison. He secretly brought him to his house, and he asked Jeremiah, "Is there any word from the Lord? Have you heard from God? Has God revealed to you anything about what's going to happen?" And Jeremiah was very direct with the king. He said, "Yes, I have. I have heard from the Lord. Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. You're going to lose. You fight this battle, you're going to lose. And you're going to be taken captive by the king of Babylon." Now, I use that story as a launching point for my message tonight. There are times in our life where we ought to ask the same question that Zedekiah asked Jeremiah. Is there any word from the Lord? Now, we don't have a prophet to ask. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, that part of God that dwells with us forever, that part of God that came into us when we got saved and will never leave us. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. At certain times in our life, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, is there any word from the Lord? Now, again, the Holy Spirit's better than man. The Holy Spirit for us is better than Jeremiah was for the king. They didn't have the Holy Spirit back there. And so Zedekiah had to depend on the man of God. But we don't have to depend on the man of God. We have God inside of us. And we can go to the Holy Spirit. And again, I'm going to mention three times in our life when we ought to do this. But we can go to the Holy Spirit and we can ask the question, hey, does God have a word for me? Does God have a message for me? Is God trying to tell me something? Please tell me what that word is. Now, be careful. When you ask that question, God's going to answer you. You better be ready for the answer. I mean, you may not like the answer. But if you ask, the Holy Spirit's going to answer. Now, so there's three times I want to mention tonight when we ought to ask that same question. Is there any word from the Lord? We ought to do it when trouble comes into our life. We ought to do it when difficult circumstances come into our life. Again, that's when Zedekiah asked. He was in trouble. The city was surrounded. The man of God was saying, go ahead and surrender because you're going to be beaten. It was a time of trouble. And Zedekiah asked Jeremiah, I want to know, what does God say? And Jeremiah said, you're going to lose. You're going to be delivered into the hand of the Babylonians. So when trouble comes, we ask the Holy Spirit, is there any word from the Lord? Now, the Holy Spirit may come back to us and say, yes, there is. There is unconfessed sin in your life. That's why I say, you better be careful when you ask the question of the Holy Spirit, because he's going to tell us the truth. We may not like the answer, but we need to hear the answer. Sometimes God sends trouble into our life because of unconfessed sin. We studied Rahab this morning in Sunday school, and we know the story of the Battle of Jericho. We know how Jericho was defeated. The nation of Israel, God told them, gave them an unusual battle plan. March around the city one time for 6 days. Have everybody be real quiet. On the seventh day, march around seven times, and when you get there the seven times, have the priest blow the trumpet, have the people shout, and the walls of Jericho will fall down. We know what happened. God had told Joshua, hey, everything in the city is mine. None of the spoil is yours. Keep your hands off of it. It belongs to me. There was a man in the army called Achan. And Achan decided to disobey God. He took some clothing. He took some gold, some money from Jericho, and he hid it. The nation of Israel got ready to go against the next city. It was a little city, not as big as Jericho, but a little city called Ai. And remember, at Jericho, they defeated the city without a single casualty. They defeated the city without losing the life of one soldier. I mean, it was a complete victory. They went to this little city of Ai, and the people got a little proud. Some of the soldiers got a little proud. Well, this is just a little city. We don't need to send the whole army. Let's just send a few hundred men over there, and they can defeat the city of Ai. You remember what happened? They were beat. They were beat. And there were soldiers killed in the battle of Ai. And Joshua went back to God and said, God, what happened? You promised us this land, gave us a wonderful victory at Jericho. What happened that we lost the battle of Ai? I mean, he was asking God, what's the word? Is there any word from you? Why did this trouble come into our life? And God said, Joshua, there's unconfessed sin. There's sin in the camp. Somebody disobeyed me when I told them at Jericho that everything here belongs to me. And they took something and they hid it and they got it hid. And until that sin is taken care of, until that sin is confessed, until that sin is paid for, you might as well not go up against any other city because you're not going to win. And you remember what Joshua did. He called the tribes one by one. He called the families one by one. He called the individuals one by one. And he got to Achan. And Achan said, I've sinned. And Joshua said, confess your sin. And Achan confessed his sin. They went and got the loot that he had stole from Jericho. And they took Achan and his family and the loot. And they stoned him. And the sin was taken care of. And the people of God were able to go back against Ai and win a victory. When trouble comes in our life and we go to God and we go to the Holy Spirit. And we say, Holy Spirit, is there any word from the Lord? If the Holy Spirit says, yes, there's unconfessed sin in your life, that's when we ought to drop to our knees. And by the way, we'll probably know what it is. The Holy Spirit won't have to tell us. I mean, he won't have to tell us. That's when we ought to drop to our knees and we ought to claim 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, sometimes a chasing of God comes because of sin in our life. And we need to confess that sin. We need to ask God's forgiveness. And again, when that trouble comes, we need to ask the Holy Spirit, hey, is there any word from the Lord? And sometimes he'll say, yes, there's unconfessed sin. Sometimes when that trouble comes, we ask the Holy Spirit, is there any word from the Lord? The Holy Spirit comes back and says, yeah, God wants you to learn something new. God's got a new truth that he wants to teach you. God's got a lesson that he wants you to learn that'll help you grow as a Christian. And here's the lesson that he wants you to learn. Now again, I would remind you tonight, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how long that you've been a Christian, there's still things that God wants you to learn. We all need to be like the Apostle Paul when he said, I have not yet apprehended. I have not got to that point in my life where God can say, hey, I'm done with that person. I don't need to work him on in him anymore. He doesn't need to learn anything anymore. If you're still here, and the Holy Spirit is still working on you, there's some things that God still wants you to learn. There's some things that God still wants you to experience. There's some things that God still has for you and your life. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did they do to deserve going into the fiery furnace? There wasn't any sin in their life. At least the book of Daniel doesn't tell us about any sin. Why did they go into the fiery furnace? Because they withstood the king when he said, hey, if you don't bow down to this idol, but when you hear the music play, if you don't bow down to this idol that I built, then you're going to be punished. And you know the story as well as I do. The music began to play. Everybody else around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bowed to their knees to worship that idol. And they stood there. They stood there. They stood there. And they did not bow. People noticed. Hey, people are going to notice when you stand for God. You may not notice that they're noticing, but when you take a stand for God, they're going to notice. And some people aren't going to like it. In fact, they're going to get mad. And they're going to do what they can to get you. That's what some people did to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went running to the king. They said, hey, King Nebuchadnezzar, didn't you pass this law that when you played the music and we were all supposed to bow down? King said, that's right. And they said, well, there's some that aren't. These three guys that you put into positions of power that rule over us, they're not bowing down to the idol. King called them, said, hey, what's this I hear? You're not bowing down to my idol when you hear the music play? Maybe you didn't understand me. I'll give you another chance. They said, hey, you don't need to give us another chance. We understood completely. And maybe our God can protect us. Maybe he can protect us in the fire. But whether he does or not, we are not going to bow down to what you say, O King. And by the way, that's the same thing we ought to say to anybody and everybody that tries to draw us away from God. I don't care if it's the government. I don't care if it's the church. I don't care if it's our family. We ought to take the stand that we're going to stand for God regardless of what it costs us. Well, you know the story. They got thrown into the fiery furnace. The king was so angry, he said, heat that thing up seven times. Turn up the gas. We're going to heat it up seven times. And he got some of his biggest soldiers to throw them in the furnace, and they were killed from the heat of the fire as they threw those three Hebrew boys in. After a little while, the king looked into the furnace. He called his advisors and said, hey, what's going on? I thought we threw three guys that were tied up into that furnace. I see four, and they're all loose, and they're walking around, and the fourth one, listen to this, a heathen king who had nothing to do with God. I mean, he'd been influenced by Daniel a little bit, but this heathen king said, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. You don't tell me that verse in the New Testament that says one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord can't be true because people don't know God. How can they bow down to somebody that don't know God? Well, look at Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't know God. And when he looked into that furnace, he saw the Son of God. There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Trouble came into their life not because of any sin. Trouble came into their life because God wanted to teach them that he could get them through the fire. He could get them through the fire. And in the time of trouble is when we can feel the presence of God in ways that we can't when we don't have any trouble. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got to enjoy the company of Jesus, the Son of God. They had to do it in the furnace. They had to do it in the fire. But oh, what fellowship. Hey, it wasn't hot to them, remember? They came out of the furnace. They didn't even smell like smoke. There wasn't one hair singed. I mean, what a time of fellowship they had learning that lesson that my God can handle fire. He can handle anything that man throws against me. Sometimes when trouble comes, we need to ask the question of the Holy Spirit. Is there any word from the Lord? Sometimes he'll say, yeah, there's unconfessed sin in your life. You need to get rid of it. Sometimes he'll say, hey, God wants you to learn a lesson. He wants you to see something you haven't seen up till this point. And sometimes when we ask that question, when trouble's in our life, Holy Spirit, is there any word from the Lord? Sometimes the Holy Spirit just says to us, stick it out. Stick it out and see that God is good. We can go back to Job, an upright man, one that feared God and hated evil. Trouble came into his life. He lost all his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. He sat in the garbage dump because they burned the garbage, and the heat gave him some relief for the boils that broke out all over his body. He had three friends. I guess you could call them friends. They came to him and they said, Job, there must be some sin in your life. God doesn't do this to people that don't sin. There must be some sin in your life. And sometimes when I read the book of Job, I just laugh at the interaction these three guys had with Job. There wasn't any sin in Job's life. He was a servant that was pleasing to God. But God just wanted him to know, hey, you just trust me. You just grit your teeth. You just hang on. We're going to get through this together. And again, if you've read the last chapter of Job, you know. God gave him double the amount of wealth that he had. I find it funny. Job's wife came to him when all this trouble was going on, said, why don't you just curse God and die? God got her. She had to have 10 more children. Same wife. He had 10 more children. And God said to Job said at the end of the book, you know, I sort of knew it before, the kind of God you were, but now I really know. And sometimes when trouble comes and we ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there any word from the Lord? The Holy Spirit says, just hang on, grit your teeth. God wants you to get to know him a little bit deeper, a little bit more. So that's the first point. I got two more. I'll be quick. So we ought to do it when trouble comes. We ought to ask the Holy Spirit, is there any word from the Lord? The second time we ought to do it is when we have a decision to make. When we're faced with a decision that in our life, a decision, big one, little one, it doesn't matter. Big one, little one, all the ones in between. When we need to make that decision, we need to go to the Holy Spirit and we need to say, Holy Spirit, is there any word from the Lord? Does he have any advice or counsel for me as I make this decision? We read about Balaam in the Old Testament. Prophet of God. He prophesied. I mean, God told him what was going to happen at different times. And the Moabites sent some representatives to Balaam and said, hey, the king sent us. He wants you to come and curse this people that are coming into our land. It was the Israelites. And Balaam did exactly what I'm talking about. He went to God, said, God, is there any word? You want me to go? God said, no, I don't. Don't go. Balaam come back and told these representatives from the king of Moab, can't go. God doesn't want me to go, so I'm not going. Well, they went back to the king, reported to the king, and said, and the king said, look, everybody's got a price. You go back and you offer him a house full of gold. Tell him we'll give him anything he wants, just so he comes and curses his people. And they went back to Balaam. Balaam went back to God. God, any word? God said, I don't want you to go, but if you're going to keep asking me, just go ahead and go. But don't say anything that I don't tell you to say. The only thing I want you to say is what I tell you to say. Well, again, for sake of time, you know the story. Balaam went back with him. King of Moab met him. Why didn't you come the first time I called you? He said, well, God didn't want me to come. And he didn't want me to come now. And I don't know if they had this conversation. I would have had it with the king of Moab. I'm sorry I actually came. Because on the way, my donkey talked to me. And apparently, he's smarter than I am. Because he listened to God. Here I am. What do you want me to do? And the king of Moab took him out. Said, I want you to curse this people. Balaam went to God and said, God, what do you want me to say? And God said, I don't want you to curse them. They're my people. I want you to bless them. And that happened three times. You see, when we have a decision to make, it's better to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, is there any word from the Lord? The Lord can see the end of the road. I can just see the next step. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God does. I don't know what is going to happen next week. I don't know what the doctor's going to say tomorrow. I don't know what circumstance I'm going to be in next week, but God does. Right. Amen. Lord, what's the word? What do you want me to do? Tell me, and I'll be obedient. And example after example in the Bible, God's people would have been better if they would have just went to the Lord and said, Lord, is there any word? Just tell us what you want us to do. Lot would have been a whole lot better off if he would have asked God where he wanted him to live. Moses would have been a lot better off if he would have been faithful to God and asked God for leadership. So, is there any word from the Lord? When trouble comes, we ought to ask the question. And when times of decision comes, we ought to ask the question. And then number three, when the time comes that we think about fighting, we ought to ask the Lord. Look back at David's life. Many times when he went to fight, he stopped and he said, Lord, what's the word? Do you want me to go? Do you want me to fight? Or do you want me to run? Do you want me to avoid the fight? Sometimes God said, David, I want you to go fight. Even though the odds may be against you, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to give you a victory. Other times, especially when he was running from Saul, God said, no, I don't want you to fight Saul. I don't want you to fight Saul's army. Just run. Just avoid him. Just stay out of harm's way. God knows the fights that he wants us to get into. There's some fights we ought to fight. Brother George, I told Brother George when we were shaking his hands, I said, boy, you were a little passionate and excited in your testimony tonight. He got excited again. He said, preacher, we're starting to see the difference. God's people can make a difference. There are things we ought to stand up and we ought to fight for. Abortion is murder. Homosexuality is sin. And I could go on down the list tonight and you'd say amen to every single one of them. We ought to stand for right. It's defined in the Word of God. We don't need to depend on man to define right and wrong for us. God has already done that. And we ought to stand and we ought to fight. Now, how do we fight? We pray, like Brother Bill testified. We pray. And like Brother George says, we get involved. We get involved. Like Sharon says, we go before those that are immediately in the fight. And we go to the throne of grace on their behalf. We fight. But there are other times where if we ask the Holy Spirit, he'll say, this fight ain't worth it. God's not in it. Just sit down and be quiet. Is there any word from the Lord? Now look, I know we have a whole book. And most of the time, if we spent the time in this book that we should, we would know the answer. We would know the answer before we went to the Holy Spirit. If we spent time in this book, we would know that there's unconfessed sin in our life. And we would confess it. If we spent time in this book, we would know what God wants us to do. This is our lamp. This is our light. It guides our footsteps. It keeps us out of sin. If we spent time in this book, it would tell us when we need to fight. And when we need to set. Is there any word from the Lord? If we ask the Holy Spirit most of the time, he'll say, just like Jeremiah did to Zedekiah, yes, there is. Here's what it is. Here's what it is. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this example of a king that went to a man of God and sought your word. We don't have to depend on a man. We can go to the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And we can ask that same question. And we can get answers from you. And so I pray, Father, that tonight we'd be hearers of the word. Not we'd be doers of the word. Not just hearers. We'd hear it, and then we'd do. And every time that trouble comes, every time we face a decision, every time we're tempted to fight, we ask the question, Lord, what's the word? Is there any word from you? And Father, I pray that as you answer, we listen. And as we listen, we be obedient. I also pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, all this time you've been working on them. You've showed them their sin. You've showed them the penalty for that sin, separation from you. and you've showed them the price that Jesus paid for them on Calvary. Father, I pray tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that tonight you would woo them to the Savior. You would help them see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him, and they would come to Christ tonight. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.